Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and this just in from the Associated Press. Congressman Vito Fisella has admitted fathering a three-year-old daughter with a woman outside his marriage. As you may know, the Republican congressman from Staten Island and part of Brooklyn was arrested for drunken driving over the weekend in suburban Washington. And police said Fisella told officers that he was going to see his daughter in the area when he was pulled over. That prompted questions about whether he had fathered an out-of-wedlock child because his wife lives in New York and the couple has three children together here. And in fact, it turns out to be the case with a woman who he called in the D.C. area after his arrest. Fisella is the lone Republican member of the New York City congressional delegation for now. The military junta in Myanmar continues to pose roadblocks for international aid workers, though they are letting some of them in now. So far, last Friday's cyclone has claimed the lives of at least 22,000 people, at least that's the official estimate. And to give you a sense of scale, that's the number of recorded casualties from Hurricane Katrina times 15. The Southeast Asian government of Myanmar is refusing most aid from the United States, and only a handful of United Nations officials so far have been allowed into the country to give relief. For more now and to talk about what you can do as an individual, because I know our hearts all go out to these people hit by the cyclone. Obviously, we think immediately of the tsunami a few years ago. We think immediately of Hurricane Katrina, and people want to know, what can I do, especially at a time where the horrible government there is blocking aid from getting through? So we are joined by Maureen Ong Twin. She is director of the Burma Project Southeast Asia Initiative at the Open Society. Maureen, welcome to WNYC.
Hi, thank you.
So it's tough, I think, for the average person to wrap our brains around the sheer number of folks affected by this disaster. I mentioned a few numbers, and a U.S. official was estimating yesterday that it could rise to more than 100,000 deaths if the aid doesn't get through. How do we even deal with that?
I think it's horrific. The numbers are the estimated 100,000. It could even go beyond that. Remember the tsunami, the Asian tsunami of 2004? I believe the top numbers were a little bit under 200,000. The Delta area, you know, that's where 24 million people live. And aid has not come to the survivors who will die or who are dying day by day.
When you say the Delta area, you mean the coastal low-lying area of Burma or Myanmar? It has that many people?
It has that many people. They estimate about a third of the population. I mean, really, nobody really knows how many, you know, they haven't done a real census for so long. Yeah,
live in that area. And countless numbers of people besides the deaths must be homeless now, no access to clean drinking water.
That's right. Of course, they never had, probably most of them never had access to electricity, which is also, you know, they blamed the cyclone for it. But the Burmese government is actually exporting the natural gas to electrify Bangkok instead of its own citizens. So they're homeless, they're foodless, they are waterless, and transportationless. Some have walked out of their areas to tell the tale of what's happening back where they came from.
And
it's really horrific.
And you were telling us that the government actually withheld warnings about an impending cyclone when they had a pretty good idea for 2 days before it hit.
You know, somebody was quoted from inside Rangoon saying that the government did tell somebody 2 days before. But I don't know. I mean, most of the people, if they had heard it from around the country, they might have done something to evacuate or to batter down the hatches. The Indian's meteorological department said that they warned the government. So I have not heard anyone else say that they heard about it.
India is right there.
India's right there, and they monitor this stuff pretty avidly.
Now, it's in the papers this morning that some aid is starting to get through. Why was the government blocking it, and what's the progress on that as far as you know?
As far as I know, the government is still blocking it. They're letting in some aid. You know, basically, Brian, they want foreign aid without the foreign aid workers. They don't want foreigners inside snooping around, you know, maybe telling it like it is, you know, reporting to outside. They're also worried about this referendum that they're insisting on going on day after tomorrow, Saturday the 10th.
What's the referendum?
The referendum is a nationwide referendum to vote to accept or reject the draft constitution, which, of course, has been totally, you know, it was written by their selected people and is not representative. So they have decided to postpone the referendum in the Delta area just until the 24th of May. But they're going to go ahead with it in the north. And they're using troops, by the way. Instead of going to the aid of the Delta, they're going and lobbying up north, saying you must vote and vote yes and that kind of stuff.
So if an individual wants to help, send money, so many of our listeners sent money to various aid organizations after the tsunami. If people want to help, but they hear that the aid isn't getting through and there's resistance, particularly to anything affiliated with the United States, what should we do?
I think people should still send their contributions to organizations that are trustworthy, that have a good network inside. And we're going to post some of that on our own foundation's website, soros.org or burmaproject.org. They can also donate to this organization called avaaz.org, A-V-A-A-Z.org. They're raising money for the monks to help their monasteries that have also been destroyed. But the monasteries are where destitute people are going now to seek aid. And
is there a political component to that because it helps the monks who've been resisting the repressive government?
Sure. We've had tales, Brian, this morning from inside the residents say that the soldiers have come to give water, for example, just to one house, not to everybody. They stopped monks from clearing trees because they didn't want the monks to, like, get a good image. Meanwhile, they're using, you know, pictures of soldiers giving some aid on their state-run television over and over again. It is political.
Avaaz.org, A-V-A-A-Z.org is the monk-related organization. And you
well,
and I...
Well,
go
the,
ahead.
It's not really monk-related, but it's helping the monks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. And you and I were on television last night talking with somebody from Charity Navigator who was saying some of the high-rated charities that are involved here include Save the Children and the United Nations Development Fund, is it, or UNICEF?
Well, yeah. You know what? I'm not... I think UNICEF and the... You know, they do... All right, work, you know? I mean, but the UN has a lot of funds. I would try to give to organizations that really work with grassroots. You know, Médecins Sans Frontières Holland, for example, mm-hmm. MSF Holland, or even World Vision has a good network inside. There's one foundation in California that I know has a lot of good projects inside. We have worked together with them sometime, Foundation for the People of Burma. That's www.foundationburma.org. And Hope International is another one. So that there are others that are not like these huge, you know, UN agencies, which I think get a lot of help.
You know, I don't know if this is beyond your area of advocacy or expertise, but some folks at the UN, the French Foreign Minister Bernard Kouchner, for one, have been batting about the idea of invoking a responsibility to protect doctrine, which would actually set up international law to allow intervention, forcible intervention, into countries that fail to protect their own citizens. Are you familiar with that doctrine?
Yes, we're familiar, and in fact, we're promoting it as well.
You are, at Soros?
Yeah. That's right. Soros and other, the French aren't the only one. I mean, Bernard Kouchner is not the only one. Some British MPs are promoting it. Lots of, some other groups are promoting it. Yes, what it'll do, but it has to be invoked by the UN Security Council. And when I heard that there's even difficulty discussing it right now because two countries are against even discussing it, discussing the invocation of this doctrine.
Two countries of the five permanent members?
Of the 15 plus, yeah, of the five permanent members who can veto, and I can guess which countries they are because they also vetoed the Burma resolution in January last year, China and Russia.
Yeah. I mean, it's a challenging concept, right, because the United Nations was set up to deal with conflicts between countries. If its sovereignty changes to include the authority to enter countries because of internal affairs, then it reduces the sovereignty of individual countries.
Well, but some countries, I think they've decided, that's why the debate was in 2005, and, you know, the government signed on to this, because some countries, you know, you can't just sit by in this day and age watching governments, you know, not only not protect, but seeing their citizens killed and not doing anything about it, either refusing or they cannot do it. In Burma's case, it's both.
You know, we've been talking about the world rice shortage that's developing. Rice is one of Myanmar's largest exports, isn't it?
Well, it used to be. It used to be. Burma used to be, okay, Brian, Myanmar used to be the number one exporter in rice in the whole world after World War II, until the military regime came and, you know, started putting rice price, minimums. Minimum price, that kind of stuff. But we used to be the number one exporter, and now they're talking that they might have to import rice.
Wow. So another thing not well handled by that government. But that's a major food source domestically. Have you gotten any word about how much destruction of rice crops there's been, or has the cyclone, you know, not affected most of the agricultural areas?
It has. I heard that it has, and also we can see from the satellite pictures how much of the delta where they were just starting to harvest the dry season rice has been inundated like 35 miles in with salt water. Well, of course it's got corpses and animal dead animal bodies too. So it's going to majorly destroy that crop.
So last thing, for people who want to send money to help, we've talked about some of the aid organizations that you recommend for that. Is there any other way to help? Is it better to, you know, even send stuff than money in some cases?
Well, actually, expertise and technical assistance. Boats, you've got some rich person who can send a big boat, you know. This is, of course, once we invoke the R2P. I think staying informed and, you know, lobbying people like, you know, your show to keep, you know, not to forget it and don't let this story die when people are still dying and suffering in a few weeks from now. It would be a good thing. And also pressuring the this is internationally, pressuring the government to do something about the UN Security Council, which is the only entity that can actually push the government into accepting aid.
Maureen Ong Thuyen, Director of the Burma Project Southeast Asia Initiative at the Open Society Institute. Thanks a lot. And coming up next, Fuchsia Dunlop with her sweet and sour memoir of eating in China. Stay with us.